If you want to follow along, I'm going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And I'm going to be, let's just read the first five verses. 2 Samuel chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when the king had called unto him David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness, the kindness of God, unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. And I'm just going to stop right there. I'm going to give you a little Calvinist lesson here to start with. This is just in passing. The word tulip, for the most part in this world, people think of a flower. That's what they think of. To most, it's the name of a flower. To a few, it is what is known as an acronym. It means every letter of it stands for another word. Each letter in it has a meaning. And those are total depravity, unconditional election, limited atonement, irresistible grace, and perseverance of the saints. That's the five. That is good doctrine. That is scriptural doctrine. I don't care if you don't like it. That's your problem. You don't like the description. I can understand that. Okay? Somebody came up with the term particular redemption, and I do like that a little better than limited atonement. Except for the added blessing of limited atonement really seems to upset people. And that don't bother me, but you know. It's not limited in scope, it's limited in extent, you know. Anyhow. And I can tell you, for a fact, I'd be willing to bet money on it, because there are people who say, these are called the 5 points of Calvinism. There are people who only say they only believe four. And I can tell you exactly which one they leave out. Every time. I'd be willing to bet money. They leave out limited atonement. They leave out particular redemption. They leave out the fact that Christ died for many and not for all. That's the one they leave out. Every time. The problem is, none of the others make any sense if that one's not true. But, I'm not going to preach on that. I had to say it, but I'm not going to preach on it. But here, in this account of David the king and Mephibosheth, we have a great illustration of irresistible grace. And that's what I'm going to try and talk about today. Although, and this is for Paul and for you, I have a different title. Using the word that's in the scripture here, I'm going to call it fetching grace. Because David sent and fetched him. And that's it. And you know what? I could stop now. I'm not going to, but I could stop right now. I'm not going to try to keep you long, but this is the thing. There is such a thing as a fetching grace, irresistible grace. But I'm going to start just in looking in verse 3 of 2 Samuel chapter 9. And here in actually verse 3 and verse 4, David asks two questions, okay, of Ziba. Is there any? That's the question. To Ziba. Is there any, what, of the house of Saul? Is there any child of Saul around? And he was given an answer, and the answer was yes. There is. Jonathan has a son. Now, here's a strange thing. At least as far as it's recorded here, you will not hear the name Mephibosheth until verse 6. David doesn't ask his name. Not in the scripture here. Ziba doesn't offer his name. He said, Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. That's what he said. Here's the point. In this account, the name doesn't matter. It's whose son he is. He's the son of Jonathan. David's beloved friend. David's beloved friend. The king's beloved one. David doesn't ask his name, and it doesn't give it for a while. Because here's the thing. The name doesn't matter as much as the relationship matters in God's sight. Because what we're comparing this to is a child of God, which is what we're seeing in Mephibosheth. When it comes down to it, what's important is Christ your Lord? You understand? Because every relationship from God goes through His Son. He's not ashamed to call us brethren. You know why? Because He's made us His brethren. Beloved, now are ye what? The sons of God. Oh, chosen in Christ Jesus from before the foundation of the world. That's where the relationship starts. It starts with Christ. Your name doesn't matter. My name doesn't matter. Jesus Christ's name is the only name that matters to the Father. Now, He does know your name. It's okay. But the question had been answered. Is there any? Yes. Then David asked his second question. Where is he? Then asked who he is. Then asked what he is. He said, where is he? And he told him. He's in the house of Machir, Saul, the son of Amiel, a kinsman of God. But he's in Lodabar. Excuse me, a place of no pasture. But David doesn't comment on any of that. This is the thing right here. And I just love this when I read this. It says, those questions are answered. David acted. David acted. And David didn't have to think about it. David didn't have to contemplate about it. He said in verse 1, what did he say? Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? David had already purposed, David had already planned, and David had already stated what his actions were going to be. Where is he? Well, he's over there in a place that's not a pasture. Well, here's the thing. David sent and fetched him. David sent and fetched him. That's what he did. And you know what happened? He was fetched. He was brought to the king. Mephibosheth was his name. Tells us in verse 6. David sent and fetched him. And then... it's not only David said that. King David said that. King David said that. And what does that mean? It means Mephibosheth, whoever he is, wherever he is, whatever he is doing, whatever he is, whatever he looked like, he was coming before the king. Because David sent for him and fetched him. Because here's the thing. if the king wants you fetched, you're going to be fetched. The king's word was law in those days. And it's not like these pretend kings we have now for the most part. It's ceremonial powers. You understand? If I'm in England, I don't have to listen to the queen. Not nowadays. But if you go into the kingdom of the king in those days, what the king said was law. But here's the first thing I want to tell you about being fetched. And this is the main thing of this thrust that I want to put forth here. Being fetched is a kindness of God. That's what he did. Is there any, and where is he? Well, go and fetch him. Why? He already told us that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake. What does he say in the other part here? You know, he asks Ziba, is there not any of the house of Saul? Wait a minute. That I may show the kindness of God unto him. Oh my. That's the kind of kindness you want. You want the kindness of God. My kindness may not do you a whole lot of good, but the kindness of God can do you all kinds of good. It will do you all kinds of good. But the fetching is kindness. Because you understand, Mephibosheth was not brought to the king because of any problem. He was brought in love. And David's love for Jonathan led him to be kind to Mephibosheth. The son of Jonathan was not brought to the king for punishment for his misdeeds. He was fetched for a reason. And I just told it to you. Mephibosheth himself was not the reason. Jonathan was. Mephibosheth was the beneficiary of David's relationship to Jonathan. And I'm going to tell you something. When God fetches you, you're the recipient, the beneficiary of his relationship with his son. God shows us kindness because of his son.
Yeah.
God shows us love and mercy because of his son. It's not because you're so good. And it's not because you're so bad. It's because his son is everything to the Father. Oh my. The reason and the only reason Mephibosheth was fetched was this. When it comes right down to it, here's the reason. The king said so. And that's it. That's it. Like I said, in the kingdom of the king, in the court of the king, and in the house of the king, nothing matters except what the king says. And what the king said was, go and fetch him. And they brought him to David. Why? That he could show the kindness of God unto him. And Mephibosheth came before the king, and David showed him the kindness of God. What is it? What the king had purposed, what the king had planned, and what the king had promised was provided. Was given to Mephibosheth. You understand? This is an account of grace. And you also have to notice that what David said, his purpose, his plan, his providing, was all before Mephibosheth was ever fetched. I like that. I like that. Mephibosheth had done nothing to deserve this. He was born a son of Jonathan. What did Mephibosheth have to say about that? Absolutely nothing. You have nothing to say with where you were born. I had nothing to say with where I was born. Other than this, God put you where he wanted you. Even before you were born. Even when you were born and even after. And Mephibosheth could do nothing to deserve this. Because the king will bring his subjects at his good pleasure. You understand? The King of glory, the King of kings, and the Lord of lords has told us in his word, he's going to take, what is it? The poor out of the dust. He's going to take the beggar up off of the dunghill. But that's not the good part. He's doing that to set them with princes and kings. It's not just, I mean, it's great that he gets you out of the dust. And it's great that he gets you off of the dunghill. But the best thing is, he's going to seat you at his table. At his table. What's the conclusion here? What was it? Verse 11. Then Ziba said unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant shall do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, as for Mephibosheth, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Man, that's good. That's good. That's kindness. That's kindness. You know, we do say come to Christ. And we mean by that, come to Christ. So how is this possible? You, me, and everyone else who are totally depraved, will willingly come to Christ. How is that possible? Well, I can tell you this. With men, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Here's the truth. If you come to Christ, and you will, if you're his, it's because you've been fetched. That's fetching grace. If you come to Christ, you will have been brought by Christ. By the authority, by the power, and at the word of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you will come. 1 Peter 3 and 18 puts it this way. For Christ also hath suffered, once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Why? That he might bring us to God. Being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. John 10 and verse 16, one of my favorites. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. And they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. I like that. You understand, we come to Christ because he brings us to Christ. We do come. Luke 15, the one parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. That's one parable, folks. That's one parable. But here's the thing. That lost sheep, he picks it up, lays it on his shoulders, and he carries it back home and rejoices. That sheep was fetched. That lost coin was fetched. And I'm going to tell you this. That lost son was fetched. People say, what do you mean? He wasn't fetched. Nobody searched for him. Nobody came and got him. There's a verse in that parable. I'm not gonna. Well, I can turn to it. I did mark it. There is a verse in that parable. This one verse, which explains it all. It's verse 17 of Luke 15, and he says, "This is after he spent all his I had and his riotous living, and he was hanging around the pigsty, feeding the pigs, wanted to eat the pigs' food." Right? Here's the statement. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger?" I'm going to tell you this. And when he came to himself, that was the lost son being fetched. Because he had done all that other stuff and never realized any of that. So the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son, all three were fetched. I like it. Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 10 and verse 20. Well, verse 19. "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people. And by a foolish nation I will anger you." But Isaiah is very bold and saith this. Here's it. "I was found of them that sought me not." You know what that is? That's being fetched. That's being fetched. That's fetching grace. "I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me." That's fetching grace. That's being fetched. "I was found of those that weren't looking for me. I was made known unto them that they didn't even ask about me." And people wonder about grace. We're always talking about grace. Because the grace of God is all we've got to talk about. How can you talk about Jesus Christ without talking about His grace? Maybe they can do it, but I can't. This is irresistible grace, fetching grace. And there's a result. Back in verse 13 of 2 Samuel chapter 9. What's the result of this fetching grace? "So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem. For he did eat." Wait a minute. Continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Ain't that something? The end result of fetching grace is salvation. It's salvation. The result of it is Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem. That's where he lived. Why? That's where the king was. He was living with the king. You know why? Because the king said, "You're going to eat at my table continually." You understand? This is not just a Sunday dinner. You know, it's not a once a week or twice a week thing. No, this is breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day for the rest of your life. That's the kindness of God to His people. You understand? The life that Christ has given us is now eternal life. And David wrote it in one of the Psalms. "He sets a table for me in the place of mine enemies." Understand? He's going to take care of His people. He's going to take care of His people. He fetched him, and now he's feeding him. And here's the thing. Mephibosheth was still lame on both feet. Still couldn't walk. Still couldn't do anything. But you know what? He's eating at the king's table every day. He's eating at the king's table every day. That's grace, folks. That's grace. You know, we're still lame. We're still hindered by this depravity of ours. Our depravity hasn't gone away yet. One day it will. When I awake with His likeness. Oh, yeah. One day it will. But until then, guess what, folks? You get to eat at his table. If you believe him, if he's fetched you, brought you to himself, brought you to the Father, he's going to feed you for the rest of his life, for the rest of your life, with the words from this book. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He'll feed you. He'll feed you. You just got to eat. You got to eat. Our Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this time and this place. Lord, thank you most of all, twice of all of all, for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom you have given us all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies and here on earth, Lord. Help us to eat at your table, to consume your word and your will and your way. Help us to walk in your paths. Be with Walter as he comes to preach. Be with Paul as he's endeavoring to preach at another place. Be with all your people everywhere, as you always are. And we'll give you all the honor and glory. Amen.